Hi, in this chapter 4, which is about security risk management, I'm going to speak more about security standards which you need to incorporate in the software engineering as well as being as a professional engineer and ensure that the risk management has been taken care of and you are able to do the risk mitigation properly. So how are the current trends? They are into the cloud first, being agile, adoption of Industry 4.0. has increased the challenges for software engineers to keep their software secure from the external threats. Now, in this cloud first, when you talk about agile adoption, means you need to face a lot of dynamics. The dynamism within the code development, code changes, or building a modular design, and making sure that your threats are minimized, your threats are digestible, adaptable, and your risk mitigation happens. Since more and more systems are connecting over internet, variety of different external attacks are also increased due to increased threat landscape. This has resulted in a complete different method or shift in the software code. So let us see how this happens. It is hence now essential to design the systems to withstand external attacks and to recover from such attacks. Without security precautions, it is almost inevitable that attackers will compromise a network system. They may misuse the system hardware, steal the confidential data, or disrupt the services offered by the system. System security engineering is therefore an increasingly important aspect of the system engineering process. So, security engineering is concerned with the development and evolution of system that can resist the malicious attack, which are intended to damage the system, its data, and reputation of an organization. So what it comes here is the more of the important is you need to find out which are the vulnerable spots. The vulnerable spots may include in the hardware, it may include in the communication pattern, it may include in the human system, those who are using the software, and it may be a compromise with the credentials which are used in terms of authentication mechanism before you try to use the software. And always the threat attackers, they take the benefit of the vulnerable issues. So overall in this industry system, the risk management has to be taken care in such a way that by keeping in understanding that 80% of the attacks are happening due to compromise. The compromise can happen at the authentication level or at the user, which is happening mostly at the user levels. Or it can be defect within the core system, the core platform software, or as well as it could be the core hardware systems, it can be within the firewalls. So these 80%, I will definitely try to elaborate to give you more of the guidelines to you to understand the security functionalities. So let's talk about more that how does a security risk management should be adopted when you're writing the code, doing the design of the code or implementation of the system, and making sure that you have got a successful software implementation done in your organization or maybe for your clients within the organization. Now, security risk management, where the software security engineering is a part of the more general field of the computer security. This has become a priority for business and individual as more and more criminals try to exploit network systems for the illegal process. Now, even if it is an illegal process, based on the government standards, and the unemployment happening across the industry, these processes are getting increased day by day because it's kind of an easy money for the hackers, attackers, or the threats coming out from the outside field. Many a times, these illegal purpose can happen within the organization. Somebody trying to maliciously leak the information to the outsiders or maybe giving access to the outsiders, thereby the outsiders, they can track you and come inside and steal the data. So software engineers should be aware of the security threats faced by the system and ways in which these threats can be neutralized. With this thought in mind, concept of DevOps has now changed to DevSecOps. It's nothing but adding security during the DevOps application. This ensures that security is an inherent part at the time of entire life cycle of the software development. There has to be consideration taken that even if the security is built within your software, that doesn't ensure that this is the risk goes to zeros down. The risk always happens, it will exist, maybe because of the user vulnerability, maybe because of the firewalls which is inside the place of operation, or maybe because of some other unknown factors. So if you would like to elaborate more, we would like to go from an image where it is going to highlight how the complexities involved from the different infrastructure layers within the components. If you, this is the security risk management, here we are going to see the different layers right from the top team, from the operating system. Now when you talk about operating system, this is the basic operating system which is basically your software is going to run on this basic operating system. It may be Windows, it can be Macintosh, it can be an Android system. So you are using this blade based platform. Now this operating system, it has got certain vulnerabilities which keeps on coming exposing every certain intervals. Now this operating system has got its own security system, it has got its own access functions, it has got its own protection mechanism. If it is not properly followed, the software will definitely get exposed to the vulnerabilities. The another comes in your layer of the browsers, the email through which the mostly communication happens from your system to the outside world. Then comes the database management. The database itself is where the actual data is stored, and that may get exposed to the outside world, which can be a threat to the management because of stealing of the data. Then there is a middleware application which is going to take care of the other functions, and the another layer of a reusable components and libraries, which is basically keeping some kind of a data which is quite oftenly required by the application and that is used. And the last layer is your main application, that's which is the software. So further talking about security risk management, the majority of the external attacks focus on system infrastructure, because infrastructure components, for example web browsers, are well known and widely available. Attackers can probe these systems for weakness and share the information about vulnerabilities that they have discovered. Now as many people use the same software, attacks have wider applicability. Infrastructure vulnerabilities may lead to attackers gaining the unauthorized access to an application system and its data. Now you may be worrying, when you design the software and you make sure that there is no vulnerability and it is going to function either. But if you had seen in the previous slide, where an application which runs, it has got different layers, reusable components, libraries, middleware, database management, browser, email and an operating system. All these things are vulnerable, which can make your application to either stop execution or allow the outsiders to steal the data. Now how this happens? There are like a lot of different areas where the threats can happen. It may be because of the insider person, the way the people are showing the heroic activities, they are doing the politics, they are doing the friction within the organization. So their intent is not good. So one has to identify which are the human beings which are using the security risk management, or which are basically being responsible for the security risk management, and your application is based basically exposed to the vulnerabilities. Is why it starts with your when you run an application, it starts with the access. So what is that access? It's a password access. So if you see the new generation software, the accesses of the passwords is getting converted into browser based access. Now browser based access is having its own system built with the security which can generate the passwords, which is complex password, and it is stored into the system. Now when it generates the complex passwords, so such encrypted complex password takes a longer time in terms of breaking. This is one of the options. Second is trying to establish a dual authentication. Now with a dual authentication, one cannot pass the password to his colleague and say that why don't you use my software, or why don't they keep a single password and it is rotated amongst the most of the colleagues to use the same password. So when such thing happens, the vulnerability is very difficult to identify, that among a set of 10 people, 100 people, who has basically given the access to the threads. It's very difficult to identify. So with the help of dual authentication or with the help of additional layer of access, with the maybe by using the OTP, so with a one-time password that comes on the mobile, that kind of an OTP, it is restricted to a specific mobile, and that mobile number belongs to a specific individual. So an IT person can easily track down that how this vulnerability exists, who was responsible to pilferage the application and steal the data. So we will talk across these different risk management, different examples where we can try to explain that a risk management and a risk mitigation, how that is tackled. So coming back to the external threats, so attackers can probe these systems in the weakness points. The weakness points are, as I explained, it can happen maybe at physical layer, can be accessed at the, it may access happen at the OTP layer, which happens through the mobile. It may happen through the passwords. It may happen through the some kind of common network share. It may happen because of the antivirus not being updated. It may happen because of the some kind of a application which is going to share your desktop, and such hidden applications may be invoked for the outsiders to view your screen and copy it, or maybe sometimes they can try to add a new layer of an application which is called a keylogger, and they may capture the password entered into that. So these are different things which is getting evolved as a kind of an more or less of an innovation is. And this innovation helps them to keep on finding the new ways of attacking, finding the weaknesses, and trying to increase enter through the vulnerabilities and steal the data. They may steal the data, they may copy the data, they may put this data across to your competitor so that your business goes down. They may try to steal your data, try to attack your bank accounts, and they may keep an eye on your data. And over a period of time, they keep on capturing all the data. And once they capture, they have all the demographics. And they find one day that they will totally ransom you. And with that ransom, most of the money gets lost. But it's not lost, it's a gain for them. So they are benefited. So their purpose is to get the benefits, they keep on doing. What you guys have to do is keep an eye about closing the gaps, closing the vulnerabilities, and thinking in the way that vulnerability is nothing, but if you go back 100 years back, the same thing was existing, and there are stories written in our history that there was big kind of residents were available, big kind of a the systems used to be there where they need to keep the entrance secured with the help of big gates, big securities, and behind every entrance they used to have some kind of a threats like a deep valley, so that a person tries to cross the wall. If he crosses the wall, he can definitely get inside a deep pit and where he cannot come outside. So such life-threatening risks, they used to expose this thing. Due to this, the threats used to get reduced. The same thing as a kind of an evolution is coming again and again, but it is coming in a digital form. So this kind of a digital threats, we need to be aware, make sure that your front door, back door, side doors are everything closed, and not only closed, but they are protected. And once they are protected, you have to keep on studying these things and reduce your vulnerabilities. Security risk management. Now, in this practice, there is an important distinction between the application security and infrastructure security. Now, application security is a software engineering problem, where software engineering should ensure that the system is designed to resist the attacks. So how you ensure that the attacks are resisted within the software engineering process? So infrastructure security is a management problem, where system managers and configure the infrastructure to resist and withstand the attacks. System managers have to set up the infrastructure to make the most effective use of whatever infrastructure security features are available. They also have to repair infrastructure security vulnerability that come to light as the software is used. But further, system security management is not a single task, but it includes a range of activities such as user and permission management, system software deployment and maintenance, and attack monitoring, detection and recovery. So how do you ensure that user and permission management is done? Now, in this user and permission management, this includes adding, removing users from the system. Now, ensuring that the appropriate user authentication mechanisms are in place and setting up the permission in the system so that the users only have the access to the resources that they need. So, this ensures confidentiality. Now, system software deployment and maintenance includes installing the system software and middleware and configuring this properly so that security vulnerabilities are avoided. It also involves updating the software regularly with new version or patches which repair security problems that have been discovered. So, when you want to discover and understand, in here you need to keep a monitoring about any kind of a failures happening across this system software. Further, to identify the vulnerabilities, it's not only the monitoring, you have to make sure that the system log is prepared and that log file is analyzed on a regular basis at a certain regular pattern of intervals. Now, this will definitely help you in case of an unidentified entries coming to the software. Now, these unidentified entries are nothing but there is some kind of a vulnerability. Now, whenever you have such kind of vulnerabilities, you keep go ahead and try to fix this vulnerability. The vulnerability can exist within the code, within the software, or it can exist outside the software. So, this way it will help you to mitigate this risk which is coming across to your software. As far as infrastructure security, that's a management issue, so we are not discussing so much of a lot. But however, security risk related to the software, we need to really monitor. So that's where comes an attack monitoring, its detection and recovery. We already discussed with some examples. So this attack monitor includes activities which monitor the system for an unauthorized access, detection, and put it in place strategies for resisting the attacks. And backup activities so that normal operation can be resumed after an external attack. So, backup operation is also important because if your main system which is running gets compromised or it has got developed certain vulnerabilities. So, you have to make sure that in a primary software, there is always a database which is kept separately. So, whenever such backup needs are run, you need to run the software from a different system and making sure that the database is connected to that. Again, you need to monitor it. When you monitor, you are able to identify, and that identification gives indication that whether the vulnerability is existing in the software or outside the software or in the database. So, depending on that, one has to take the decision and try to establish a backup system or try to detect, isolate, and then enter into the recovery phase. Security management is vitally important, but it is not usually considered to be a part of the application security engineering. Rather, application security engineering is concerned with the designing a system so that it is as secure as possible given budget and usability constraints. Now, part of this process is design for a management, where you design systems to minimize the chance of security management errors leading to successful attacks on the system. So, for critical control systems and embedded systems, it is a normal practice to select an appropriate infrastructure to support the application system. Now, for example, embedded system developers usually choose a real-time operating system that provides the embedded applications with the facilities that it needs. The known vulnerabilities and the security requirements can be taken into account. Now, this means that a holistic approach can be taken to security engineering, maybe. So, an application security requirements may be implemented through the infrastructure or the application itself. Now, when you talk about through the infrastructure, definitely in the infrastructure, there are other components which may be vulnerable because there is a dependency of software on that particular component. So, the moment there is a dependency, that dependency can be an external factor for that application security. So, it all depends upon what was your original design, where you have got a dependability, and how do you ensure that dependability, even if it is dependable, are you able to encrypt the data between your actual piece of software, wherever it is residing, and the external component? If you try to do the encryption of the data, and that particular encryption data is protected. One is encrypted, second part is, it's protected. Protected in the means to say, it is being made available only to the reasonable number of users, those who are important, those who are interested in terms of managing, or let's say, for example, it is getting connected to the database system. So that also is a component. It's actually a component. Now, such database system has to be kept in a more secure environment. And once it is interacted, it is protected and also controlled with the set of another set of user access, and as well as the password policies. In such a case, there is a sure shot that the compromise may not happen, because it is trying to create another layer of the password access, and that another layer of password access can be embedded again within the software application, or can be invoked in the application in terms of feeding the password. So when you feed in password, it goes ahead. So if you see, in some cases of banking applications, there is a different security system comes, which is nothing but a token system is applied. A token system means what happens, it keeps on generating different kinds of code every time. So if you see in this, in some cases, software was designed a 4-digit password. Okay. Now, because of the security standards, it has moved from 4-digit to 8-digit. Because the 4-digit is easier to crack within small amount of time, whereas 8-digit is difficult to crack in a small amount of time. If the token is been a token system is in place, a token can be designed in the terms of getting the new tokens every certain level of intervals. So when you say even certain level of intervals, it is depending upon the environment. Does the environment needs a token which needs to be refreshed every 10 seconds, 5 seconds or 15 seconds? So it is again, one has to decide how that external system is communicated from your actual application system. What is the dependability? That dependability one has to really think at what kind of security you apply. That security you are applying based again on the environment. How many users are coming across? To what kind of a seriousness and the level of critical application being exposed, how many people it is exposed. So these are the factors where you can take and make sure that you can try to understand and try to protect the vulnerability system in terms of either token based, password based, dual authentication based, or maybe by using some kind of a passwordless mechanism, which can be a kind of a kind of a card level access. Now, this card level access, you need not to remember the password, need not to have the OTP system is in place. OTP is a real time, but it is more effective. But when you say a card based system, such card based systems can definitely ensure one need not to remember. So it is like a non-remembrance password. So he gives an access, and through that access it gets, even that particular card system, it has got its own identity, so one can definitely track down who was the responsible user of the such cards, and then such users are made, you can make a brainstorming process to understand why this was used, what time this was used, is it matching with the log reports. So this is an investigation process to find out how that threat happened. So coming back, like from critical applications, then embedded systems, and identifying the known vulnerabilities and security requirements. So this means that a holistic approach should always be taken in terms of security engineering. And application security is always being taken into consideration as far as the application, whether it's depending on the infrastructure or within the application itself. Security risk management, however, application system in an organization are usually implemented using the existing infrastructure. Now that is again operating system, database, etc. Therefore, the risk of using that infrastructure and its security features must be taken into account as a part of the system design process. Coming more speaking about risk management, security risk assessment and management is essential for the effective security engineering. Risk management is concerned with the assessing possible losses that might ensure that attacks on assets in the system, and balancing these losses against the cost of security procedures that may reduce these losses. So credit card companies do this all the time. It is relatively easy to introduce new technology to reduce the credit card frauds. So there are a lot of new technologies are coming in place by the credit card, where they started with some kind of a swipe system. That swipe system got re-originated with the backup OTP system. Then that OTP system, with some credit card companies, they came out with the Android-based swipe system. That nothing but it is trying to do a double swipe by means of your finger, which moves ahead, and which cannot be compromised by the external malwares, and Why it cannot be compromised with external malware? Because this is basically manually driven swipe. One, where one of the credit card company has started authenticating with the swipe in the way that it pops up the application in your either Android or iOS phone, and it asks for your swipe. The moment you see all the things are correct, you have to just touch the finger and move from left to right. So that manual finger, it indicates that you have done yourself, it is authenticated, and you are known with the transaction. So these are the different ways of reducing the frauds happening from the external world. However, it is often cheaper for them to compensate users for their losses due to the fraud. So then to buy and deploy the fraud reduction technology. Now how it happens, these companies, what they do is they keep a backup plan as a kind of an insurance. And for such threats and frauds happening, they try to claim from the insurance, and they protect the customers in the terms of claiming such frauds, which is covered by the insurance. So as the days goes ahead, the technologies evolve, the different policies, procedures evolve. If the number of frauds keeps on increasing, the insurance companies may not be able to support the claim. So in such cases, the new technologies always rise, called as an emerging technologies, and try to reduce the number of contents or number of the claims about the fraud. And that way the new technologies are going to help in terms of reducing the frauds. Then to buy and deploy the fraud reduction technology. So at cost, as cost drops and attacks increase, this balance may change. For example, credit card companies may now encode the information on an on-chip card instead of a magnetic strip. So this is where a decade before a magnetic strip was successful, nowadays the magnetic strip is not successful because there are technologies in place which can read the magnetic strip. So the credit card companies, the ATM companies are converting their machines from the magnetic strips back to the card chip. And the card chip is nothing but it reads the card chip. And from the card chip, some companies are still in the process of innovation, moving from the card chip into something called as a new level of systems, where they may allow the user in terms of punching some code right from the credit card itself, which is driven by a small battery, which can communicate over through a wireless technology or Bluetooth, and that communication happens between their phone and themselves, and that goes connected to the central system. So that way the authentication levels are increasing day by day. There are some technologies which are in place which is based on the voice detection, which is called as a chirp technology. It's a voice chirp technology. So that voice chirp technology, which again gives an authentication that the transactions which is happening, it's from the original users and it is not a non-original users. So this way there are different mechanisms are being developed based on the different culture, different countries and different behavioral patterns from the human beings, and the industry is trying to reduce the threat levels to the great extent. So it is a combination by the actual customers, users, the insurance companies, the actual financial agencies. So all things are involved, and somewhere holistically is regulatory authorities are coming into place in order to reduce this percentage. So when you talk more about risk management, this makes the card copying machines much more difficult. So surely the card copying machines, which are getting difficult, they are one day going to rule out with the help of new mechanisms. So risk management is, again, it's a business issue rather than a technical issue. So software engineers should not decide what controls should be included in the system. It is up to the senior management to decide whether or not to accept the cost of security or the exposure that results from the lack of security procedures. Rather, the role of software engineer is to provide informed technical guidance and judgment on the security issues. They are therefore essential participants to the risk management process. So a critical input to the risk management or the risk assessment and the management process is an organizational security policy. The organizational security policy applies to all systems and should set out what should and should not be allowed. The security policy sets out conditions that should always be maintained by a security system. And so it helps to identify risks and threats that might arise. So when you try to bring such policy into place, definitely tomorrow there will be need that every organization, they are guided by something called as a physical securities. Maybe their need will come, the physical security guys, they may have to get more learning, more training in order to keep on monitoring the devices, the something called as a bring your own devices policies. And when this bring your own devices comes, they come along with a lot of miniature devices which may copy the system, which may capture the system, which may try to click the images. So these are some of the threats where people are intending to take a long period of time, copy the data, then they not only copy, they keep on studying the data, compile it, and when they accumulate maximum information, they plan for a threat. Even such things are also, but these kind of threats are going to the maximum intensity, which where maximum damages happens. And that's where there are mitigation happens sometimes with the insurance companies, where the company's major losses are covered by the insurance company. So it all depends upon what is that actual infrastructure management is done. The senior management is responsible in terms of redefining the security policies for the infrastructure. So as a software engineer, the security policy therefore defines what is and what is not allowed in the security engineering process. So you design the mechanism to implement this policy. Risk assessment starts before the decision to acquire the system has made, and you should continue throughout the system development process and after the system has gone into the use. So preliminary risk assessment will happen in the way that during the preliminary the decisions on the detailed system requirements, the system design or the implementation technology have not been made. The aim of the assessment process is to decide if an adequate level of security can be achieved at a reasonable cost. If this is the case, you can then derive specific security requirements for the system. You do not have information about potential vulnerabilities. So in the system or the controls that are included in a reused system components or the middleware. So you can, during such a preliminary risk assessment, you can always ensure that the person who knows more about the designing of the code or designing of the software, he also is the participation in the terms of risk assessment, where he also goes through some kind of a checklist, and that checklist guides him that is he designing the code or writing the code which is taking care of all the external threats or any kind of a vulnerabilities, is he getting exposed. And when he's writing the modular design, if he gives a thought, definitely he will be successful in terms of bringing up a good value-added software to the consumer markets. So let us discuss something more about how is the life cycle about the risk assessment. So this risk assessment takes place during the system development, and it is informed by the technical system design and the implementation decision. The results of the assessment may lead to changes to the security requirements and the addition of the new requirements, known and potential vulnerabilities. Everything gets identified, and these known and potential vulnerabilities which are being identified and this knowledge is used to inform decision making about the system functionality and how it is to be implemented, tested and deployed. So when you talk about life cycle risk assessment, if you really look after over a 360 degrees, and definitely you will be able to have a good assessment done, and when you do a very good assessment, you will be able to manage the risk. And when you manage the risk, you will be in the position to mitigate the risk in case if something is not involved. And if the new technologies keeps on coming, you can always try to understand that what are the vulnerabilities existing because of the new technologies. And thus, are these new technologies, when you talk about like an IoT, is it really creating some kind of a new vulnerability? If not, prepare another modular code, embed that particular code within your software, get it compiled and make it run. And this way you will be able to mitigate even from the inside and make sure your software is becoming more robust and robust day by day. So let's talk something about operational risk assessment. After a system has been deployed and put into use, the risk assessment should continue to take account of how the system is used and proposals for the new changed requirements. Assumptions about the operating requirement made when the system was specified may be incorrect. But organizational changes may mean that the system is used in different ways from these originally planned. Operational risk assessments therefore leads to new security requirements that have to be implemented as the system evolves. So operations, which is definitely again, it's the usability of the software by the human beings. So there is what one can define the different policies, how to make use of the software, and what protections or what kind of a controls you need to build, which is nothing but indirectly training them as kind of a building up the human firewall. So human firewall is nothing but giving a sufficient knowledge so that they are able to decide that are they doing right, is there any wrongdoing happening. So this is a continuous life cycle process. One side is a complete life cycle within the software, and outside is the people user using. So the operational use. So that is another risk management has to be done. One has to again assess and find out its outcomes and try to do the assess. After doing the assessment, try to fix or bring the changes in the either in the process or in the software, so that these things are reduced day by day. So there are a few headings which are required to be discussed here. The first one is interception threats that allows an attacker to gain access to an asset. So a possible misuse case for the project management systems might be a situation where an attacker gains access to the records of the individual celebrity patient. And another interruption threats that allow an attacker to make a part of the system unavailable. So therefore, a possible misuse might be a denial of service attack on the system database server. So when you talk about denial of service, it means that it is basically an access which is basically managed by the firewalls. Because when such denial of service happens, either it happens from the outside world which is coming inside the operational systems or the official communication, it is basically through the firewall. So these denial of service, majority of the attacks are coming, the denial of service attack keeps on continuing. So there are different ways of mitigation of this such denial of services. Now talking more about modification threats that allow an attacker to tamper with the system asset. So he will try to modify it, he will send some kind of a malware, and so when such modification happens, they keeps on happening in terms of library files. So how does it one of the way is that whenever you are running the software, there is a memory component which is being used while execution. So when it uses the memory, such memories, the malware, they goes and try to redefine that memory. So when they redefine, the code gets redefined and it starts executing something differently. So it's nothing but you instead of copying the place, you have a separate set of routine or some kind of a modular software you keep and try to run in that. So when it runs, it gives a different output. And it may give different output, it may give vulnerability to send the data outside the system. So these are sometimes the modification threats. So you need to make sure that when you write a software, are such modifications which are allowed, is it tamper proof? So this is going to avoid the misuse. So this could be represented by misuse case, where an attacker or changes the information in a patient record. So this is very important in terms of hospital industry. So if somebody goes ahead and tries to misuse the case and changes the patient record, it's very dangerous. So fabrication threats that allow an attacker to insert false information into the system. This is perhaps not a credible threat in the PMS system, but will be certainly a threat in a banking system, where a false transaction might be added to the system and that transfer money to the perpetual bank account. So which can be one case that you add one or two zeros and transfer, it's a big amount. And it is very difficult to identify such thing. But yes, when you have got a proper transactions history or transaction log file, you may try to track down, you may try to see the source of the information, that at what stage, at what intent, that particular extra zeros were added, which has siphoned the huge amount to the other bank. Thank you.